Awesome. Thank you. What a cool group you guys get to listen to today. Some really smart, successful people. And that's a little nerve-wracking on my part. I'm kind of wondering where I fit into the group. But I didn't hire Jim, but we did. And we're thankful, very thankful for having him with Driscoll's. A little bit about my background. I did start out after my bachelor's degree. I grew up in California, literally looked at Driscoll's as a company from my parents' home. I tried to get a job there, got a thanks but no thanks letter. That was a little bit different. I really didn't know what to do, and this was when people faxed in resumes, so a little bit before most of your time. But I did get a job with a competitor, a private research company. I worked as a research associate. That turned into a technical sales role. I sold beneficial insects to the greenhouse industry in California. Got out of that, moved to Oregon because of cost of living, and brought my family up there. I worked as a crop consultant. Got let go of that job. That was disheartening. First job I ever got fired from. I related back to we weren't making enough money, or I wasn't making the company enough money, and in private industry, that's especially a sales job, that's what it's about. So I kind of took a time through a downturn in economy to figure out what I wanted to do, looked around, did some different jobs that I could get. Some of it is taking what you can get. So I ended up getting a job as a scientific recruiter up in Portland, Oregon. And so that's where I really got into talent acquisition, and that whole phase of my career I've been doing for the last, I guess, about 8 years. So talent acquisition, hiring scientists, recruiting scientists. And so that really was a great experience for me. I was able to grow in that role into a senior role, into a recruiting manager over a team of technical recruiters. I got recruited out to lead another team. At that point, I was a new manager. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went back to school and got an MBA. Finished that. Right about that time, my job changed, because that's what happens when you work in industry. Things change, and you may not want it. So I started looking for something I was passionate about. And I was really looking for an opportunity in a company that I could relate to. So I'm a mountain biker. I wanted to find a mountain bike company. Man, I tried to get a job with Specialized Bikes. They're in California. Grew about 20 minutes away from them. I weaseled my way into an interview, so I'll tell you about how I did that one. But I didn't get the job, thankfully. It worked out very well for me. So I went to Driscoll's, actually stumbled across an ad they had for a different position, looked more at the company itself, saw the role that I have now. And if you looked at the job description, besides speaking Spanish, I had everything they wanted, and they looked for about a year for this person. So I still had to apply. I still had to interview, which was 10 interviews. It wasn't 2 days like a professor track, but I flew down twice to California to interview. And got a job. I'm very thankful. So I've been there about 3 years. My main job is global technical talent sourcing. So I typically partner with one of our recruiters to help find people. And really it's headhunting for Driscoll's. So I go look for you guys. So in school, in networking or professional organizations like this. This is where I make a lot of connections, and this is how we get a lot of names for our managers to look at and reviewing those resumes. The importance of networking is hard to get away from. So I'll jump right in. This will be maybe a little more informal. If there's any questions or anything, I'm happy to talk about them. But so I was given the opportunity to pick something. I got the fishing expedition and strategies for job searches, and figured try to have a little fun with it. I remember my dad bringing my brother and I fishing growing up as a kid. And man, we did 4 a.m. We're up in the car, getting in the dark to a I guess there was a lake somewhere. We had to walk for seemed like a mile with coolers and fishing poles and be the first one there. So that strategy my dad had sometimes worked, sometimes didn't. So you never know what you're going to get. Anybody ever fish in here? You always catch something? Nope. Same thing with the job. So unfortunately, you got some examples in here about looking at 160 resumes. Guess what? 159 people get rejected. Yeah, it's kind of lame. So I love dealing with people. I hate making that call to the people who didn't get a job because they're great people and they have ability to do the job, but they didn't get selected for whatever reason. So there's some patience that's needed in job searching, but hopefully we can look at some maybe strategies to help that help you guys identify where to look, what to look for, and not too much into the application process, but I'll provide some hints. So really looking at some basic things on strategies for job searches, try to keep it pretty simple. Got to prepare, got to do your research, and you got to do apply. So you got to apply the jobs and you have to do what the companies are asking for. Prepare and research seem kind of similar, but they're actually a little bit different in what we're looking at. I know a story on the fishing story of my dad who prepared the best he could. He bought the best equipment. We left early. We got to the right spot. We had all these people in there, and everybody was catching fish, literally one side and the other side of where my dad was. And he couldn't understand it. I mean, everybody's catching fish. His friend found a juice can with a string around it and a hook, two hooks, walked back with two fish. He had the crappiest equipment, and he got lucky. So sometimes you never know. You can stumble on the right things. So Fishing for Dummies may be out there. I don't think there's a job search one for dummies. I tried to look around for it, but I don't know if it's out there. What you're doing now is part of your preparation. The university degree, whether it's bachelor's, master's, doctorate, or postdoc work that you're doing, that is all very very important and necessary to even start a job search. I've heard a couple people mention internships and work experience. Targeted internships or an internship that is something in your field, even if it's uncomfortable, location, the timing may not work, or it's going to be challenging, or you don't get paid to do it. Those experiences are how people get jobs. Looking at resumes from an entry-level person, if you had the same degree, the same school, and someone had an internship, the person with the internship is likely going to get the phone call just because they have some real-world experience outside of their academic training. Academic training, volunteer projects, anything you can do. Why I included that is I hired a person one time. We were looking for a chemist, and was a very specific metals chemist, and was a unique piece of equipment. It was about $100,000. So a lot of universities wouldn't let undergrads touch it. So I found a guy at a random university, and he had the experience. I asked him about it, and he said it was the worst piece of equipment they had. Broke all the time, had to fix it, had to do all that stuff. So what I heard was troubleshooting. This guy knows how to fix equipment. He can fix problems. He can solve stuff. We got him a job, as far as I know, the guy's still there, and I think moved into management roles. But that bad experience of working with a less than stellar piece of equipment is what got him experience that really translated into an industry position. Social media profiles. My main focus on this would be more LinkedIn. If you don't have a LinkedIn account, you need one. They're free, and they're not too hard to set up. But there's a lot of people that look on Facebook. They look on Twitter for job postings, things like that. But really, Facebook, but the LinkedIn and that profile is really important to have. Personal websites, work portfolios, I know, don't send out the links like we were hearing here. To the reality of someone looking at those. But depending on what your personal interests are, they could work. And I'll tell you, when I'm sorting through 160 resumes, I don't look at those websites. I don't look at the links. I don't look at cover letters. If the people look pretty good, I read the cover letter. If they look really good, I'll go to that website. I'll check it out, especially if I'm interested in what they're doing or they have something unique that someone else doesn't have. A work portfolio is more for your benefit to be able to show if you need to in a presentation. Our scientists, most of them give presentations as part of an interview process. We don't give them a subject. We ask them to teach on what they're comfortable with. And so whatever they're passionate about or comfortable with, they can bring, stuff that they're from their thesis, whatever. But they are doing presentations and giving their research in a formal setting. And have a good resume. It's easy to say that. We've heard a few things about what to include, what not to include. A good resume for me, MSA, Made Safe Achieved. So what'd you do? What were the outcomes of what you've done? So listing a skills list of bullet points that you set up trials, that's cool. You have to do that. That you worked with a variety of people, that's really good. Excellent experience. Please include that. But also include what you got out of it. If you did a project that went very well, what was the outcome? Did the industry benefit? Did your company benefit? Or did it not go well? And did you learn something? Because that's also vitally important. So being able to include something in your resume that shows that you understand what those outcomes are, it's something that a lot of people don't do. A skills list, and I've advised people on this one for a long time. As a resume reviewer, oftentimes we are doing keyword searching through a database of applicants. If your resume doesn't have that keyword, you don't get found. So acronyms and full spellings are also nice. And the thing I like about a skills list is once you get that good resume and you have your accomplishments and you have your past experience documented pretty well, you're not going to change that too much, even for a different job. They tell you to tailor your resume to a job. You can tailor a skills list of bullet points. Pretty easy to include some different things that you may be familiar with. And that's an easy way to get found in the world that resumes are reviewed at these days. So research, academia, industry, I think we've had a few talks on that, so I don't want to go too much into it. But who is hiring? So there's different sources you can look at. What do they call the roles? Where are the jobs? So there's a few things that I've looked at, and I was going to try to pop out here on LinkedIn and just show you, but I don't want to crash our system. If you go to LinkedIn and you have a profile, it's free. Type in the search bar and you can put in, for me, we look for what we call an agronomist, which is really horticulture scientists that know how to grow strawberries and berry plants. But our agronomists are people who face our growers. We can't find the people with the right skill set because we want them to also have berry experience. We want them to grow in hydroponics or substrate, so something out of the soil. So these skills are something that are pretty unique. It's a little bit different. So if I go to LinkedIn, and I did it this morning just to kind of play around to see, to be able to provide an example, but if you type in agronomist in LinkedIn, I think it came up with 14,000 or 130,000 people with that title. So big deal. So you're probably connected to a couple of them, so you may know some people. But what you can do is start looking through those people's names and look at their profiles. You can view anonymously if you don't want anybody looking, knowing that you're looking at them. But you can look at those profiles, and you're not looking for them, but you're looking for what they do. Who hired them? What companies hire, and what roles do they call it? Now you know this guy works at your dream company. Up in Oregon, we worked around Nike. Everyone wanted to work at Nike. So you found a guy at Nike in supply chain, and you found him. Awesome. Well, look at where else he worked. Did he work at another company? Because they also hire that same skill set. What did they call it? Was it a research associate? Was it a farm manager? Was it a trials manager? A coordinator? There's a variety of titles out there, and being able to identify what other companies call them can help you go look when you're looking for jobs, out there. Web searches like Google, LinkedIn, Indeed, hopefully people are pretty familiar with those ones. You can Google jobs in agronomy or jobs in horticulture or jobs in any of those sites, and you'll get a variety of companies that come up. You'll get search sites that will come up as well, Ag Careers and some of these other ones that advertise different jobs. What I like about those is not only just doing that basic research, and keep in mind, this is not a point where you're maybe not even, if you see your dream job, apply for it. But you're really trying to get information. So you want to understand what the companies are calling their people, where the opportunities are, because it may not be in the location that you're targeting, and really kind of what kind of openings they have. So a lot of it's just really trying to get a lay of the land in industry about what's out there and who's hiring. For it. A lot of companies do partner with university career centers. So having a career fair, I'll tell you, when I went to get my job after a bachelor's degree, I didn't go to one career fair. I don't know why. I just never did. So when I went out to go look for a job, I had no internship. I had no career fair experience for interviewing. I had a job. I worked at the same company for 6 years for my four-year degree. But I didn't have some of those things that would have probably gotten me that job with Driscoll's when I applied in 1999. But I was competing with people who did take the opportunity to have that time in an internship or were doing things. So I was trying to start that after my degree. University Career Centers, we post jobs there. I don't get a lot of people applying through those positions. We ask them to get out to their alumni. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's one place. Don't overlook it, I guess, is probably the main point here. Professional networking conferences like this, being involved with it, that part is it's fun. Hopefully, people enjoy talking to others and learning new people. But meet some new people. You know, it's nice that you're kind of getting prompted to get up and turn around and meet someone new. But really, when you're walking around the halls, strike up conversation. You never know where people are at or what they're doing, where those career paths go. I'll tell you, when I talk to managers who want to hire somebody, my first question is, who do you know? Anybody, apply and interview in the past that we didn't hire? That second runner-up, those are often my first phone call for the next job. So those are the things that really make a difference. And so maybe getting out of your comfort zone a little bit if you're not quite the extrovert to go up and meet someone new. You have poster and presentations. You have people standing by their posters. Go ask them about it. It's a good way to generate some conversation, especially if it's a field that's similar to yours or a parallel industry. They may be connected with someone who's working and knows a manager who's hiring. So that sort of networking is really it's how people get jobs these days. Different articles, publications, news. I was reading somewhere, talked about reading is one of the best ways to help keep your personal development going. And so I find that I read articles that are interesting to me. Most of them are in the space of what I'm recruiting on, substrate and hydroponics and greenhouse management and that sort of world, especially for California and berries, what I'm dealing with on a lot is really, there's a lot of stuff coming out there. So reading those articles, you find out who's the researchers. Why wouldn't anybody email them or connect with them on LinkedIn? They're doing cool work. You want to do it too. Most people, if you ask them about themselves or what they're doing, they're more than willing to talk. But you got to ask. So you have to maybe stretch yourself a little bit. So research and networking. I don't want to hammer on it too much, but I think I will. I've got two columns worth. So you got virtual, you got LinkedIn, and I'm sure everybody here is bolstering up their profiles. Include a personal note with an invitation. So it's easy to scan people and say, I want to connect with this person. And it sends a generic email and says, please add me to your LinkedIn network. Cool. You have 300 characters for free that you can type in there and say, hey, why do I want to connect with you? So for me, in a recruiting position, I accept most resumes unless people are just way, or most invitations, unless they're just way out from what I'm doing. But if they're close, or they worked in a past field, because I never know where my career goes, I recruited into wind energy. I still connect with people in renewables. Something happens to Driscoll's, I want to have those connections so I can say, hey, Mr. Manager, you guys need a talent acquisition person? Those things are important. Include a personal note, say why you want to connect with them. And it doesn't have to be much, but it could be, hey, I'm very interested in working at Driscoll's. Can I have a few minutes of your time? You may not get a response, but once you're connected, you can email them and say, hey, here's why I'm applying for a job, or here's my background. Give them a little bit of information. But it just adds a little bit of color to the invitation itself. I would ask for a few minutes on the phone. My role is unique because I'm not loaded up with requisitions that are where I have managers walking to me. I have a couple partners that I work with that will need technical profiles, but it's really we want the best quality, not necessarily a quantity thing. So if people ask me for a few minutes of time, I'll give it to them. I'll talk to them. I mean, what's a half an hour? And I get to learn about what they're doing. They get to learn about what we do and what we hire for. And maybe that conversation ends that how we hire and what we want or where we want them doesn't coincide with what that person wants. But they made another connection. And maybe they can refer their friend who has what the skill set is that we're looking for, which could be one of you. Facebook. I'm not a big Facebooker. But if you are, I know people get jobs on it. And I know people advertise jobs. People share jobs. We rented a house a couple weeks ago through Facebook. Kind of weird. But it worked. Personal websites, it's like one of those things with the links that you're probably not going to look at when you're reviewing resumes, but people do have personal websites available that showcase their research. It gives opportunity for people who have a creative side, and usually we're not putting the scientist in that artistic bucket, but I know there's a lot of people who cross over and enjoy that sort of side of it. So if that's you and you want to be able to portray that, there are opportunities out there for those scientists who can relate to people in a visual form. And if that's you and you can explain it, put it out there. You're also wanting to be appropriate for the job. If your job is not doing anything like that, don't overdo it. Because it can take away from what the message is you're trying to deliver. And I've had managers say, yeah, it's a cool site, but they're all like visual. They're not planning. It was a planning job. I said, no, but it says planning all in there. You just look at it. It's like, okay, their presentation's off. So there's a little bit about that that's the right message at the right time. So in person, so industry conferences like we have here, the career fairs we mentioned, networking events, past managers and colleagues, don't burn bridges. If you leave a job, give notice, leave it well, try to wrap up what you can. Your new employer should be respectful of that and should want you to give notice, because if you quit their job, they want you to give notice too. So those are things that that really do make a difference. The past managers, they hired you once. They may know of other jobs. They liked you. They may be looking for you. I've had managers call me asking me to find them jobs. So that's pretty cool. So they know it's a two-way street. And then your personal connections. So I find I strike up random conversations with people. I think this is my personality. But I'm always asking what people do. It's interesting. It's people. They're fun. Those personal connections is how a lot of people get, oh, wow, that's what you do? Oh, man, well, I know about this person. Well, give me a number. I'll call them, see what they do. If we're looking for that talent, that's how people get noticed. When you apply for the job, complete the application. I ask for a cover letter. You don't need it all the time. And if I'm reviewing 160 resumes, I may not read your cover letter, but if you get down to that bucket of the finalist, I'm reading your cover letter. Our hiring managers want to know why you want this job. Who are you? I would not reiterate your resume in your cover letter. You don't need to do that. Your resume is there. It shows what you did, what your job titles were. But your cover letter can give a little bit about your personality. What do you like to do? Why do you want this job? My biggest recommendation, I think, in this area is research the company you're applying to. If that company has values listed, I work at Driscoll's, and this is you can listen to my recruiting talk tomorrow, but we're a values-based company. We look for those values. Put it right out there. Passion, humility, and trustworthiness. Tell me why you're passionate about this job, why those values resonate with you. The last company I worked for, same thing. They had different values, but their managers were looking for that. They were asking for it. They didn't include a cover letter. They didn't take it serious. Said, no, they're probably applying to 15 jobs. They get no answer back. Why do the extra work? Well, if you're the only one doing the extra work, guess what? You get that call, and the other people don't. So kind of stinks sometimes, but that's the reality of the Internet and applying for jobs. It's really easy to reject people. You don't see them. It's a piece of paper. They're not a good fit, so it's easy to wipe them away. Now, if your cover letter has something compelling that I want to read or why, or it's like, wow, this is really cool. Man, they have a cool story. I don't need 4 pages of a cover letter, and I also don't need all the 20-page CV. But I need to know what you want to do, and I need to know why you want to do it, because that's the more important part for me. Your degree and now that preparation is how you get your foot in the door. You and your personality is how you're going to sell yourself and get that job. I would recommend keeping an electronic version of your resume so you can cut and paste easily into new applications. It's pretty easy. I'll tell you, the application is less read than the resume. So the application, you got to put, it's like, you know, list your job experience. You're like, great, I gave you my resume. Some will parse it in and automatically do it for you. Others don't. That's an easy way to keep that going. most companies, or a lot of companies now, will have ability to apply with your LinkedIn profile. So if you have a LinkedIn profile that has more than just a job title, then you can use that, or it can give you a good start. But that's a good way to leverage kind of that social media side as well as applying for new positions. I would include the cover letter and make it relevant. Connect those dots between the resume and your role. So what do you want in that role, and how does your resume fit, and how do you plan on getting it there? Don't have to go too much into, you know, a glorious, you know, begging for a job by any means, but we do want to know why and what, you know, your personal interest is in those positions. Your connection to the company and those values that I mentioned. So, you know, why this company? You know, is it the job? Is it the area? You just want a job? You're desperate? That's fair. I took a sales training course, one of the jobs I had, and the lady, she charged a lot of money for sales training. And so her deal was, when she first started, her client was the one who could fog a mirror. You know what that, yeah, it's like checking to see, make sure people are alive. That was it, a pulse. That was her qualifications. Could they write a check? Minimal is what it was. Were they alive? That was it. As she got better and she got a bigger clientele, she could be more selective. Now she can say, yeah, no, I'm going to charge more money, and I know the people who are willing to pay it are going to be serious about the training. It's the same thing when you look at your applications and what you want to do. Your first job, you may take that job that's across the country or in some weird town that you're not familiar with. It may be the job that you stick with for 30 years, but that chance or taking that opportunity when it's out there is don't overlook those opportunities. You never know where something unique or a job title that's a little bit different. If the role's good and the team's good, it may be worth a shot. Don't be afraid to include some personality, and that's more in a cover letter. I don't need a bunch of personality in the resume, because I really want to know what you did and where you went to school and that sort of items. And then apply to roles that you are qualified for. So a stretch. Yeah, that's okay. The executive position, when you're a bachelor's student, don't waste my time, because all the other applications that you did, you just went into this bucket that you don't know what you're doing. So that's an easy way to get rid of resumes, is that person applied for 6 jobs, 10 of them are management jobs, they've never managed a person. Okay, they don't know what they're doing. I can go look at the other people. And that's disheartening when you're like, I want any job. I'll do any of them. That's a good conversation with the recruiter. You can get them on the phone. I'm open to what you have. If you see something else that fits my background, let me know. So I got some things to avoid and things to do. We'll start with the negative, and we'll leave on a positive note. Don't overlook staffing agencies. There's scientific staffing agencies out there. You can Google them. There's a bunch of them out there, and they have cool jobs. Maybe a contract position, but contract to hire is how a lot of people get jobs. There's a lot of major companies that start people on contract, all of them. And once they prove themselves, then they'll do a permanent contract. So staffing agencies are a great way to look for, another place to look. And they often partner with desirable companies. Companies have to have enough money to pay a staffing agency to do their job. They're going to pay you. You're getting paid by the staffing agency. So... and most of those opportunities, a lot of them are contract to hire. If it's just a contract position, guess what? Get work experience. Those are things that are very valuable for your resume as well. I think going back to my last slide, don't apply for those roles you're not qualified to perform. So if you need some training to do it, that's fine. If you need a degree to do the job, you're probably not qualified for the position, so I wouldn't waste your time or the company's time. And don't apply from different profiles. So I've seen resumes come through and a person's mad. They're like, I've applied for 16 jobs. I'm like, first of all, you applied for 16 jobs. But I've looked, and I'm looking up a person, and they've got 4 different email addresses. They're all over the place. They've got different resumes. Be consistent if you're applying to the same company. Email addresses, use something that's not, like, provocative, I guess. Maybe your name and a Gmail account is probably the best, but you never know why people get resumes rejected. So, and I've seen some funny ones. Don't email the CEO unless you know him. I have gotten a CEO resume, or our CEO. It came to me somehow. And it was one person I called, but that was it. And we didn't hire her. So things to do, be patient. It's kind of hard when you're looking for a job and you need money, but there's an element of waiting for the right opportunity or being consistent and persistent. Send thank you emails or letters. Very few people do it. I'll tell you, I know the people who do it for me. And when I'm looking for people, I ask the managers, who do you know? I always think, myself, who do I know? When I first started with Driscoll's, I think the first two or three hires we had were people I had met 15 years before. I recognized their names. I called them and said, hey, no one's going to call you because your resume doesn't show up. Can you send it to me? Guess what? We hired them. These are people I knew that had a good reputation. Thank you emails or letters. That's a good way just to separate yourself. An email is easy. Ask for people's business cards if you're interviewing, and follow up. If you're dealing with a recruiter or a staffing agency, ask them for the best method, or best method and preferred timing for follow up. I don't want a phone call every single day asking, "Did you get that? Did I look at your resume? You're going to get that interview." I remember you, but it's a different reason. You go in that bucket of I'm not going to give that person a call because they're annoying. But if they ask me, hey, how often? I said, hey, give me a week and check in. Email me. You can email me and that's fine. Start blowing up my phone because you want an answer and you're desperate. That's a little bit different. So be respectful. Ask what their preference is. Some of them say, I'll call you. Okay. Then you got to wait. But in most cases, every couple weeks is fine to follow up. If you didn't get that job and you have a recruiter's email, email them in a month. Hey, how's it going? I was looking on your website and see new opportunities. Do you know of anything pending that I should be aware of? That's an easy way to keep a dialogue going. And after a couple of those emails, now I'm the one emailing you and saying, hey, guess what? We're going to open up something in a couple of weeks. Do you want to hear about it when it happens? And that's how a lot of positions get filled. And then get your interview clothes ready. So I'd say final advice and good luck. Attitude is everything. And stay committed to your search, even though it does get hard and get long and drawn out. Be open to related opportunities. The job you want may not be the job you get, but if that cool company has another opportunity and includes some floor sweeping, guess what? Break out the broom. Start sweeping a little bit. Because that person who sweeps that floor and gets noticed as that hard worker is the one who gets promoted into that full-time role or the permanent position or the job that they actually wanted when they started the application process. And ask for what you want. Ask for a few minutes of a person's time to talk to them. Ask them if they don't have any job opportunities. You're not going to get anything if you don't ask for it. Maybe you get that big one. I'm around for the week to network, recommend LinkedIn profile changes or updates if you want to talk. But are there any questions or anything I could answer now?